Welcome back, everybody, to the CCB Students Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Eric. We are still missing Jared, but we'll find him one of these days. I'm joined by two wonderful people from the Chandler campus. We have John Hill III.
That's me. Hey, I'm John.
Yeah, repeat visitor to the podcast.
I'm back.
Always love having you on. But you didn't come alone this time.
You brought
with you Emily Locker.
What's up, everybody? Hi, good to be here.
Yes, yeah. You two comprise, if I'm understanding correctly, the students team at our Chandler campus.
It's it.
That we do.
Superb.
We constitute a team because now there's two of us.
Yes, before when it's just you, that's only a team if you're schizophrenic.
Yes.
Probably can't make mental health jokes right now.
Yeah, probably not the best. That's not the best feel. Not a good look for the podcast.
My bad. I'm sorry. Sometimes things just come out.
We're off to a great start.
This is why Jared's usually here, to balance me out. There's no longer a balance to the force, and the wheels are about to come off.
Yep, and you're going to get to hear all of it.
Glad you tuned in. Via podcast.
That's right.
Okay, well, as we're wrapping up now, this three-part series we've done, where we just kind of broken up the age groups that we deal with in student ministry, because they're all wonderful, they're all students, but they all have their little quirks and differences. You guys are bringing it home with the upperclassmen, the juniors and seniors, the big dogs on campus,
as it were.
So before we talk about them, let's talk about you. How much, describe to us, if you would, the transformation that you took in your own lives from freshman to senior. Like, what? Paint us a quick snapshot of freshman you and senior you and how wildly different those humans were.
Sure, I'll start. So many of us, we've never met. As you're listening to this podcast, we probably haven't met. I'm a 6'4" bearded man.
Yeah, you are.
That's fair. I am, as been affirmed by those talking with me right now. But when I was a freshman in high school, I looked very much like Russell from the Disney movie Up, if you've ever seen that.
Oh, I've seen it. And that's a good look.
And for some reason, so I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. And for some reason, I thought Hawaiian shirts were a good look for me, that they were flattering to my chunky form at that age. So I lived in Nashville, wore Hawaiian shirts like almost every day to school, and for some reason thought that was a good look for me. And so I started off like that. And at 5'8", 150 pounds, it was working out for me, I guess. You know, I was making it work. I was cute. I was chunky. You know, I was doing my thing. But as I got further into high school, in my summer after my freshman year, I had a growth spurt where I grew almost 7 inches in one summer. So then by the time I was a senior in high school, I looked very similar to a skeleton walking around, because I still was 150 pounds. I was just now 6'3". So as a senior in high school, I was a skeleton with skin walking around at my school. I looked like a different human. So it was a very dramatic change. Still wore Hawaiian shirts though. So, you know,
those are always,
I'm not wearing one now, but
I should.
Yes,
he is.
Yes. Yes. So there you go. Wearing one now. Emily, what about you?
And my transformation wasn't as much physical, but I was a silent, small, mousy, terrified girl. Right now you would never be able to tell because I talk a lot, but I was so scared of interaction with humans as a ninth grade girl. So I would show up places and I would stand in a crowd of people. I would stand in a circle. I always had like, quote, friends. But I knew all of their names. They didn't know anything about me. So throughout high school, I had like more opportunities to take on responsibility. And like, I was in the marching band, which was awesome.
What did you play?
I played the piccolo.
Of course you did.
Yeah. The only reason I played the piccolo was because I could hide it in my sleeve so that nobody would know that I was in the marching band. So even I was embarrassed.
They're gonna know.
I was really good at it, but I didn't want anyone to know how good I was because I thought it was nerdy. Anyways, so finally by senior year, I think people started to hear my voice and they were like, oh, you're funny. And I heard I'm funny one time and I rolled with it. And so that's what I became. I am funny.
One person was like, you're funny. It's like, that's it.
That's all I heard.
I'm in.
And now I have my comedy special on Netflix. That's a joke.
Well, they're handing them out.
You might as well. They are.
That's terrific. John, I promised you when we started that I would answer that question as well.
Yeah, give it to us. What about you, man?
I had a similar growth spurt to yours, only I didn't start chunky. I started medium height and crazy skinny, and then just got taller and was crazy skinny. So I think by senior year, I was 6'1 with a size 14 foot.
Whoa.
And I weighed 125 pounds, maybe?
No way. Like,
just rail thin, not as tall as you, but so skinny.
Dude, with skis for feet.
Yes.
Where did you find like pants?
Pants were not hard because it was the era of JNCO jeans, which I talked about actually on an earlier podcast. Somehow it came up. So
are
I was
you
rocking,
sponsored by them still? You I have wish, to required to I brand represent them.
But hashtag just, sponsored.
Yeah, we've already assigned coaches to go look them up because they're all too young to remember. Gigantic jeans. They covered my entire size 14 foot. So that was one of my biggest self-conscious things was the distance or the difference of my like skeleton calf muscle to the gigantic platform of a foot at the bottom.
Oh my gosh.
It looked great in a marching band uniform. Love I was it. Also in that.
Of course.
I was
were.
On drumline. So I always, band people know that there's a difference.
There's
drumline and
difference.
The rest of the band. We're the cool rebels.
We You're still the have to Nick wear Cannon.
Yes. I thank you for saying
you
that.
You often
I
get
am so
described
flattered.
As Nick Cannon
yes,
in your life, don't
when
you,
When people
Eric?
Are like, who's that Eric guy? You know, the one a lot like Nick Cannon?
He's a lot like Nick Cannon.
Yeah, that's what happens.
That's who I'm aspiring to be. That's a goal in my life.
But I married into a jock family, and they are all to every single one of them. Like, there's no difference. Did you wear the stupid uniform? Yeah, you were in marching band. Yeah. So I can't win. But I basically started in most of high school skater punk, huge jeans, spiky hair, horrible acne for a while. It was just a bad time, very angsty. Got into a serious dating relationship and she sort of like, it was the rom-com, like she cleaned up my act and suddenly I had like tucked in shirts and like crazy crap like that. And then we broke up and I sort of landed somewhere in the middle and Classic. Just got out of high school.
So you went from... You went from where you were before to a real Matthew McConaughey failure to launch vibe, like, you know, kind of thing. Like, you know, really that you saw the cover of that DVD and just went for it. Like, that's really what you were going for.
That was it was pretty much the like, oh, what does my girlfriend want? Yeah, sure. Anything, whatever.
That's fair.
Yeah. Please don't break up with me. This would be great.
Please. I will be anything. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. It was very healthy, very confident.
I'm sure it was.
It was terrific.
You guys could only like be or you couldn't be around each other for like. Or you could not be around each other for any longer than like 3.5 seconds. You had to constantly be around each other.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't really trust her. So, you know, had to, had to keep her close. You know?
Yikes.
I'm sure I would love to hear more about the details.
Air quotes, best friend was her ex-boyfriend. Like it was great.
Because that always works out.
Yeah. whenever I voice like, excuse me, is that a good idea? I'm a terrible person for asking the question.
Obviously.
I'm over it. It's fine. I'm healthy. I've talked to a therapist. We're good to go.
Yep.
So yes, obviously all that to say transformative years of high school. And as we look at the upperclassmen, as you so aptly put it, the best version of the students that we will see.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. This is, hey, whether how you feel about it or not, coaches, this is the most mature and influential version of these students that you're going to see. Now that may not be comforting, but some of your kids might have turned out all right. Maybe they're like an assistant manager at McDonald's now. Like I know one of ours is. Like that's fine. Like this, in a serious way, like this really is the most influential and most mature version of them that we're going to see with the most opportunity to make a difference, which honestly is a really cool thing. Like this is what we've been building up for. All these awkward conversations we went through as freshmen and sophomores with them. And for some of you who had them even when they were in junior high, like you went through all that crazy transition and all those weird moments where they wore Hawaiian shirts and looked like Russell from Up to now be hanging out with kids that wear JNCO jeans. Like this is what you were hoping for. Like this is it. You've got the most influential and mature version of them. This is the moment you've been waiting for. It's awesome.
It is. And sadly, not to turn it to a bummer, but I mean, we kind of know, if you've been around student ministry, there's a gravitational pull almost for upperclassmen to just kind of check out, to ghost the ministry, to do other things, whatever it is. Why, in your expert opinions, why does that happen?
Yeah, you know, we kind of boiled it down to two different reasons, but there's a lot more things calling for our students' attention when they become juniors and seniors. I know it happened for me where I was suddenly able to lead different organizations. So for me, it was, I have more responsibility in different areas, but for different students, it's different things. So it could be, you've got a job now. And so you've got a lot of responsibility and you don't get to pick your schedule, or at least you think, I don't think I get to pick my schedule. I don't want to have that conversation with my manager. they've suddenly convinced someone to fall in love with them. And so they've got this boyfriend or girlfriend that's taking all their attention.
They've got a girlfriend calling for their attention.
Oh, whatever. Yeah, sure. And even junior year, there's so many conversations about what are you doing after high school? And so students are trying to get their grades up. They're trying to go on college visits. They're trying to do everything they can to really pump up their resume that they can take on into college. So there's so many more things that are distracting or taking their attention away from being able to show up on Sunday night. And another thing, so they might not be physically present, or you've got students that are showing up and they're like, we've been doing this for years now. We went through CCV Kids, we went through CCV Junior High, and now we're juniors and seniors. We've heard this before, you know? like it's, oh, we have Barrow's Pizza again? Great. Like we've had this every week for the last 200 weeks of our lives. So yeah, maybe they're not physically there, or maybe they're just kind of mentally checking out.
Yeah. And the ironic part of that is this is the time they're checking out the most, but this is the most influential version of them, the most mature version of them, where they can actually, a lot of them now can actually hold a serious conversation with you, mm-hmm. not just about video games. They can actually talk about deep things for longer than 15 minutes. Like these are the kids that you've had so many experiences with at camp where they made a decision about Jesus and you've watched them walk through. You've been through all these things with these kids over the years. And the thing that can be really frustrating as a coach is you've done all this work and you've been through all these really tough years with them where building them to who they are. And now they're not showing up either mentally or physically. It can be really frustrating as a coach.
Yeah. So on that note, what does a group say? Hypothetically, I'm a coach. My group of seniors is dwindling, fading. Maybe it's completely like I showed up and it's me and the one staff kid who has to be here. What do I do in that situation?
Yeah, I think just to encourage you coaches, I would say that you have more influence in this situation than anyone else in the room on Sunday nights at high school to fix this. And here's why I'd say that. I texted some of my senior boys just to ask them, hey, why do you still come to church? Like, why? Like, you don't have to. COVID, especially, there's more excuses. You have more excuses than anybody. Why do you still come? And their answer, all of them, was the people. They didn't just say they're friends, because there's a difference. They could have just said they're friends. Yeah. They said the people, meaning their coaches are a huge part of that. It's you. You have more influence in this situation. If you feel discouraged as a coach, that you keep coming back each week and you're like, man, this year has already sucked. Like 2020 has been so hard and now I'm showing up and none of my kids are even here. Like this sucks. Like I feel discouraged. The thing I would say is don't feel like you have no option and no opportunity. You actually have the most of anybody else in the room, more than any student pastor, more than any of their friends. You have the most opportunity to make an impact. So that's the first thing I would say. And then with that, what I'd say is do what you already know. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. If your kids aren't showing up, all you got to do is what we talk about, connect. They will consistently show up for you if you consistently show up for them. Connect. That's it. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to come up with something crazy. And Emily, you put it in a really good way when we were talking about this before, about showing up in their world. And you had some really practical stuff. What are some of those things you were thinking of?
Yeah, sure. So I know we've got a couple students that have gotten jobs. And so that's something big that takes them away on Sunday nights when we're expecting all of our students to show up in group time. And what I would do as a coach of seniors last year is, hey, where do you work? Okay, I'm going to show up. Like instead of, I love Chick-fil-A, but like some of my kids work at Culver's. And I'm like, okay, I really want to go to Chick-fil-A, but it's going to be a huge sacrifice for me.
First world
to
problems.
To skip out on Chick-fil-A. Yeah. But hey, what if I just ask you, what's your schedule? Oh, you're working on Thursday. My family's going to come to Culver's on Thursday to get a meal and just show up in your world. So we can show up regularly on Sunday nights and say like, I'm going to be here every Sunday night that I possibly can be so that when you show up, I'm here. But I can also say, how can I show up randomly into your life where you're already going? So I know this year is really hard with not being able to go to football games and not being invited to go to like big gatherings with students that are really easy to show up and see four or five of your students at one time. But how can I say like, okay, let's go to McDonald's tonight. Let's make our rounds. Instead of going to our comfortable, familiar places, where are our students already going to be? Where can we show up and just say like, hey, you got a new job. I'm so excited for you. Like I'm going to be in the drive-thru tonight just to wave and say hi. So just some of those easy things where we can show up randomly in their lives and say like, I'm here. I care about you. we haven't forgotten about you, even though we can't show up to the same things that we usually would have in other times.
Yeah. So good.
I think too, another side, you show up in there. So a way we would say that is when you consistently show up for them, they will show up for you. You have the most influence to make when you show up in their world. And then when you invite them to show up in yours, I think we make it so complicated on ourselves as coaches and working with students, thinking we have to plan some laser tag event or go to a trampoline park and tear our ACLs for our kids. And
it's
we have to
it.
Give a whole Saturday and do all these things to impress our students and get them to show up. But man, some of the best times that my coaches have had with their students, and when I was a coach that I had with mine, one of my favorite times when I was coaching senior boys is we went and helped one of my friends move. And that was one of the most fun times I had with my boys and memories that we had together and where we just did something together. Just invite them into your world, man. Jake did a great podcast already about this in an episode about Connect, about with this coach acronym. Go back and listen to that. I'm not going to have to talk a whole lot about that. But what I would say is invite them to show up in your world. You don't have to make it so complicated on yourself. You don't have to plan this big event. All you really got to do, and we probably sum this up to one thing for connecting, you're not going to win your whole group back in 1 week. That's an unrealistic expectation, and we're not going to put that on you. Mm-hmm. But if you want to win back your juniors and seniors, what you do is just 1 hour a week outside of the weekend, focus on one student. Just one. Like, you give 2 hours already on Sunday night. Dude, just give us one during the week where you focus on one student. Just pick one kid. One of them who hasn't been here in a while. If they're a manager at McDonald's, guess what? Show up at their McDonald's. Why not? Like, do that. Invite them and their crappy boyfriend who they won't stop hanging out with for 3.5 seconds to come to your house and have dinner with you. Yes, he may vape all in your living room, but you're just going to have to deal with that for a second. Like, nice. Invite them into your world. And when you do that, they will show up for yours. That's just my thoughts on it.
Dude. Your word pictures are so specific and beautiful.
I try to paint vivid ones for a podcast format.
I know the exact dirtbag boyfriend you're talking about. It's stupendous.
It's because I was that dirtbag boyfriend in high school.
If there had been vaping back then, you would have been all over it.
You guys missed out.
That's right.
That was, yeah. I grew up in the age where you had to smoke real cigarettes and puke everywhere. It was a rough time. Okay. So the other kind of side of that equation, say you're a coach, juniors and seniors or whatever, your numbers are kind of fine. Like, they're there, they're still hanging out, but they are just checked out. You know, the one word churchy answers, they don't want to engage. They're just taking up space, basically. How do you mentally or emotionally get them back?
Yeah, I think a lot of places in our juniors and seniors' lives, their schools, their jobs, their clubs, these things that they're involved in outside of church, their sports teams especially, I think they do an amazing job at doing something that we don't do all the time here at CCV, where our sports teams and jobs and clubs, they recognize a need in juniors and seniors. The juniors and seniors are people that want to leave a legacy somewhere. They want to leave their fingerprints on something. They do a way better job at recognizing that, if I'm honest, than we do at CCV sometimes as student pastors. And like, example, I keep making the reference to a manager at McDonald's. One of my junior boys, he is showing more leadership potential and is being given more leadership responsibility at his McDonald's that he works at. And they've tapped into him leaving a legacy at McDonald's. And he's currently leaving more of a legacy there than he is right now in our ministry. And I think about that. I'm like, man, that's got to change. There has to be something where I'm doing more as a student pastor. And also, how do we empower our coaches to have our students have a mindset that they can leave their fingerprints here too? I think students want to leave a legacy. And so how do we challenge students to leave a legacy as coaches here at CCV? How do we bring them into that? And Emily, you had some great thoughts on it too, in how we can help students take next steps and how can we equip coaches to help students take their next steps, and that's their way they can leave their legacy.
Yeah, sure. One of the cool tools that we have is in our coach toolbox through the CCV app. You've got access to be able to see your whole group. I know that all of the campuses have set this up, and we just recently did it at Chandler, where we can say, it's really hard to keep up with a group of maybe 12 students and you know off the top of your head who's been baptized and who's gone on a mission trip and who's taken next steps in their faith. But we have a toolbox that we're able to see. So if you go into your CCV app, you can look at the carousel on the top and swipe over to where it says My Coach Toolbox. And in that, you scroll down, it has all of your information about this week's coach guide. And when you scroll down, you're able to see all of the students that are in your group. You can click on that student. You can click on Jessica and see which of her little bubbles are lit up. So you're able to see like, oh, Jessica hasn't been baptized yet. Like she's been coming around for a really long time. Is she taking ownership of her faith? And you're able to then have a tool that's just right in your hands where you can start a conversation with Jessica and say, hey, like, I've noticed you haven't been baptized. You've been taking mission trips and that's awesome. Like what's holding you back? And so that's just a really easy tool to be able to look at all of your students and know like, I know that a mission trip was so influential in taking my faith for my own because it was something different, gets you out of your comfort zone, takes you into a different place. And so if we as coaches can be challenging our students to do something that they've never done before, whether it's serving, some kind of spiritual discipline. Those things are right. That's a huge tool that's right in our own palm of our hands that we can have access to. And I know I was that student that checked out. I had been going to the same church from the time that I was in preschool. And so I grew up hearing the same things over and over and over again. I had coaches that cycled in and out. I had all of my friends stop coming to youth group. And so I was the student that I was faithful. I showed up. I was doing these things. And the best thing that my coaches did was just challenge me to lead others on my own. So I had heard it all before. They were able to say to me like, hey, Emily, where are you serving? And when I stepped into doing that, it totally changed my mindset of showing up on Sunday nights. So that was really awesome. I think as coaches, our best thing that we can do is really just to challenge these students to say like, hey, you're already here. Like we're so proud of you for showing up and we're doing the same thing. Now here's where we're going to take it to the next level.
Yep. Yeah. I think of that too, is that the best way for a student to leave a legacy is through taking a next step. Like their baptism, when they drive past your campus, wherever you're at in the valley, that student will remember that's the place they got baptized. That's where they made that decision to follow Jesus. It's a part of their legacy. Like when, man, I would love it as a student pastor, if a group of my junior boys and their coach said, hey, we want to have some ownership of the night. We'd love to start setting up stuff for you. So I don't have to set up a giant 9-square in volleyball net on my campus. I'd love for them to do it. Not because I'm lazy, maybe a little bit, but the reason why is when they have a piece of it and an ownership and a part of the night, then they are the ones who are welcoming other students in. It's their thing that they get to contribute to and leave their fingerprints on, literally, not just something that they show up for and consume. And I think when we do things like that, and you can get creative with your student pastor, I think when we do things like that, we give students an opportunity. But as a coach, what you have to do is identify what's your student's next step. What's their way to leave a legacy? Maybe for them, it's baptism. Maybe it's that next step. Utilize the coach toolbox to help them take that.
Man, that's awesome. That's spot on. So like brass tacks, what does a coach listening right now, what do they do this week? Like they end the podcast and what do they do as like a first action step?
They send us a thank you card for this awesome podcast.
Boom, there you go.
Boom. That is, yes.
Just kidding.
That is much appreciated and necessary. What's the second thing they do right after they drop that card in the mail?
No, I think the two things that I would say is if you've got students that are physically checked out, you already know what to do as a coach. You already know. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's connect. If you show up for them, they will show up for you. You have the best opportunity and it will work. If you reach out and either you show up in their world, you have to figure that out. Do you need to show up in their world or do they need to be invited into yours? Just focus on one student, man. Don't make it so hard on yourself. You're not gonna be able to fix or change the dynamic of your entire group in 1 week. That's not what we're asking. We're asking, just give it 1 hour this week to one student. Who's that one student for you that hasn't been back since COVID started? Who's that one student that is completely checked out because of their job? Connect with them. The other thing I would say is challenge. You've got students that are there mentally, but they're not, or excuse me, they're there physically, but they're not there mentally. And for students that are in that space, give them a way to leave their fingerprints at this place. Identify what their next step is. Just pick one student and one next step. That's all it is. What's one next step that one student needs to take? Don't make it so hard on yourself. Don't make it so complicated. Just one student at a time, one next step at a time. Who is that for you? Who's that student? That's what I'd say. Emily, is that good? Sound good?
That was great.
Cool.
Amen.
That'll preach. Well done. Guys, gals, I'm messing up all my pronouns, but both of you, thank you.
I'll take it. Either way, I think John would be okay if you said, girls, thanks.
Yeah.
I'd be okay if you said, guys, thanks. Yeah.
Ladies, it's been a pleasure. Yeah.
I'll go cry in my car later. I appreciate it.
But incredible stuff. Thank you for sharing, for everything that you do, for the students and the coaches and the ministry out at Chandler. You're killing it. We love you guys. Coaches listening right now, thank you as always for investing in yourselves as a coach. We have to say it, contractually obligated, but we sincerely believe it at the end of every podcast. When the coach gets better, the whole student ministry gets better. So mm-hmm. The fact that you're taking a few minutes out of your day to listen to this and to go and apply some of it makes everything we do across CCV students better and more effective and ultimately changes young lives. So thank you for pouring into them. Thank both of you for being here. We will see everybody next time.